Dr. Homschutz in 1819. Closer inspection showed that lichens were more interesting than magical. They are, in fact, a partnership between fungi and algae. The fungi excrete acids that dissolve the surface of the rock, freeing minerals that the algae convert into food sufficient to sustain both. It is not a very exciting arrangement, but it is a conspicuously successful one. The world has more than 20,000 species of lichens. Like most things that thrive in harsh environments, lichens are slow-growing. It may take a lichen more than half a century to attain the dimensions of a shirt button. Those the size of dinner plates, writes David Attenborough, are therefore likely to be hundreds, if not thousands, of years old. It would be hard to imagine a less fulfilling existence. They simply exist, Attenborough adds, testifying to the moving fact that life, even at its simplest level, occurs, apparently, just for its own sake. It is easy to overlook this thought that life just is. As humans, we are inclined to feel that life must have a point. We have plans and aspirations and desires. We want to take constant advantage of all the intoxicating existence we've been endowed with. But what's life to a lichen? Yet its impulse to exist, to be, is every bit as strong as ours, arguably even stronger. If I were told that I had to spend decades being a furry growth on a rock in the woods, I believe I would lose the will to go on. Lichens don't. Like virtually all living things, they will suffer any hardship, endure any insult, for a moment's additional existence. Life, in short, just wants to be. But, and here's an interesting point, for the most part, it doesn't want to be much. This is perhaps a little odd, because life has had plenty of time to develop ambitions. If you imagine the 4,500 million odd years of Earth's history compressed into a normal earthly day, then life begins very early, about 4 a.m., with the rise of the first simple single-celled organisms, but then advances no further for the next 16 hours. Not until about 8:30 in the evening, with the day 5/6 over, has Earth anything to show the universe but a restless skin of microbes. Then, finally, the first sea plants appear, followed 20 minutes later by the first jellyfish and the enigmatic Ediacaran fauna first seen by Reginald Sprigg in Australia. At 9:04 p.m., trilobites swim onto the scene, followed more or less immediately by the shapely creatures of the Burgess Shale. Just before 10 p.m., plants begin to pop up on the land. Soon after, with less than 2 hours left in the day, the first land creatures follow. Thanks to 10 minutes or so of balmy weather, by 10:24 the Earth is covered in the great carboniferous forests, whose residues give us all our coal, and the first winged insects are evident. Dinosaurs plod onto the scene just before 11 p.m. and hold sway for about 3/4 of an hour. At 21 minutes to midnight they vanish, and the age of mammals begins. Humans emerge 1 minute and 17 seconds before midnight. The whole of our recorded history on this scale would be no more than a few seconds. A single human lifetime, barely an instant. Throughout this greatly speeded up day, continents slide about and bang together at a clip that seems positively reckless. Mountains rise and melt away, ocean basins come and go, ice sheets advance and withdraw. And throughout the whole, about 3 times every minute, somewhere on the planet there is a flashbulb pop of light marking the impact of a Manson-sized meteor, or one even larger. It's a wonder that anything at all can survive in such a pummeled and unsettled environment. In fact, not many things do for long. Perhaps an even more effective way of grasping our extreme recentness as a part of this 4.5 billion year old picture is to stretch your arms to their fullest extent and imagine that width as the entire history of the Earth. On this scale, according to John McPhee in Basin and Range, the distance from the fingertips of one hand to the wrist of the other is pre-Cambrian. All of complex life is in one hand. And in a single stroke, with a medium-grained nail file, you could eradicate human history. Fortunately, that moment hasn't happened. But the chances are good that it will. I don't wish to interject a note of gloom just at this point, but the fact is that there is one other extremely pertinent quality about life on Earth. It goes extinct. quite regularly. For all the trouble they take to assemble and preserve themselves, species crumple and die remarkably routinely. And the more complex they get, the more quickly they appear to go extinct, which is perhaps one reason why so much of life isn't terribly ambitious. So any time life does something bold, it is quite an event, and few occasions were more eventful than when life moved onto the next stage in our narrative and came out of the sea. Land was a formidable environment. Hot, dry, bathed in intense ultraviolet radiation, lacking the buoyancy that makes movement in water comparatively effortless. To live on land, creatures had to undergo wholesale revisions of their anatomies. Hold a fish at each end and it sags in the middle, its backbone too weak to support it. To survive out of water, marine creatures needed to come up with new, load-bearing internal architecture, not the sort of adjustment that happens overnight. Above all, and most obviously, any land creature would have to develop a way to take its oxygen directly from the air rather than filter it from water. These were not trivial challenges to overcome. On the other hand, there was a powerful incentive to leave the water. It was getting dangerous down there. The slow fusion of the continents into a single landmass, Pangaea, meant there was much, much less coastline than formerly, and thus much less coastal habitat, so competition was fierce. There was also an omnivorous and unsettling new type of predator on the scene, one so perfectly designed for attack that it has scarcely changed in all the long eons since its emergence, the shark. Never would there be a more propitious time to find an alternative environment to water. Plants began the process of land colonization about 450 million years ago, accompanied of necessity by tiny mites and other organisms that they needed to break down and recycle dead organic matter on their behalf. Larger animals took a little longer to emerge, but by about 400 million years ago, they were venturing out of the water too. Popular illustrations have encouraged us to envision the first venturesome land dwellers as a kind of ambitious fish, something